Amen. I hope y'all are excited about tonight's subject. I really praise the Lord for Pastor's thoughts of just really dealing with the things about the extraordinary, because we do have an extraordinary God. Amen. And that's been the topic for this year, and it's been a blessing in my heart that all of the different areas that he's looked at and the challenge that we have before us tonight. And I want to share a family that in somewhat reminds me of my family. And I'm sure that all of us, I will believe that all of us could take the Bible and look at it in its entirety and read through and study the life of a family that would be a true reflection of what your family is like. I want to start by saying this. Most of you all have heard me talk about my family. And there are some things about my family that probably a lot of you have not heard me talk about. Last time that we had opportunity to share an area of subject about family, it wasn't quite what I was told to do, but it worked out to be a great example to us and a challenge to us about our family. I use Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, and if anybody would tell me what Romans 8, 28 says, Terrell? And all things do work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. Right. And when we think about our family, and sometimes I asked the last time, how many of you would think about something that you would want to change about your family? But if you really think about it, you know, there are some things that we would want to change, but there are some things that I wouldn't change about my family. Not that it's a great family and different than anybody else. And it is, and when we think about it, it's an ordinary family overcoming extraordinary obstacles. And I looked at Joseph and his family. I want us to take our Bibles and turn over with me, if you would, over to Genesis chapter number 37. I believe we'll begin there. And I want to preface it by saying this. When we talked about Joseph's family last time that we talked about him, we talked about Joseph's family being a dysfunctional family. And we think about when we say dysfunctional, well, yet the dysfunctionality of it is typical of the family of his day. And we think about our families today, and all of us, we think about our families are somewhat dysfunctional too, but it's typical of the families today. When I think about Joseph's family and how it relates to my family in so many ways, when I think about my background, where I came from, and what I want to share tonight with you, let's stand and read my Bible. I'm going to read just a couple of verses here, and we're going to get started because it's a lot of territory I want to cover, and I may not cover it all, but I do want to end up in chapter number 50. Can you believe that tonight? But I want us to look at some things about what was going on here in Joseph's family. And Joseph's family, Genesis chapter 37 and verse number 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with his feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father an evil report. Father, thank you again for tonight. Thank you for your blessings. God, thank you for the privilege that we have to be here tonight. And I pray that you use this time to allow me, dear God, to allow you to be a blessing to all of our hearts and lives, and how we need to be challenged about the importance of our family and realize the importance of family, and how you gave yourself for the family was the first institution that you put your stamp of approval on, and how we need our families to be godly families that will represent you. Fill me with your spirit, Lord. Empty me of myself, and that I might speak, thus saith the Lord. And then we leave here tonight and be encouraged about an ordinary family overcoming extraordinary obstacles. Bless now, I pray. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. I don't know if I've ever told you all about my family, but when I think about Joseph, we talked about Joseph coming from a family, and Joseph had... Let me read it, and then I want to tell you some just to kind of share along, because it's typical of my family. Joseph's family was like this, as we could say it. He had three stepmothers, 10 stepbrothers, one brother, and one stepsister, and all of them live under the same roof at the same time. I can relate to Joseph because, whether you all know it or not, I had 3 stepmothers, one sister, one brother, one stepbrother, and 3 stepsisters. Most of y'all didn't know that about me because I probably never really shared that, but I came from that type of family. I grew up in that. But yet, when I look back at my life, there are a lot of things about our families that we would want to say that we need to understand. And I didn't understand a lot of things that happened in my family. And I had some issues with some things that went on in my family. And if I could say one word that I probably had problems with that would typify my family, it was that I had resentment in my heart. I didn't know Christ as my Savior. My dad, when my mother died, he was not a godly man. He did a lot of things that I won't share. If I would tell you, you would probably, I don't know what you would think, but I say this. My dad wasn't a godly man and didn't always do things right. I resented my father. You say, why? It's hard to see how someone would treat your mother and then bring another person into your life and would bring them into your life and would make you do some things to please them. And that's what happens when you see your family and your dad gets married and brings somebody else into a family that you're put in. You have no choice, but you have to be a part of it. But if we be honest, and all of us would be honest with ourselves, you think about the word resentment. And most of us don't think about the word resentment in the way that it happens. And it's probably one of the most typical things that happens in everybody's life. It's not just in your family, but it happens in our relationships in so many ways because there are so many things that we can be resentful of and not even really think about it.
That's right.
And I had to deal with that. And I was sharing with Pastor just a few days ago that had nobody that I could talk to help me with that. And when I think about resentment, I gave Miss Layla, I think she's in here. Miss Layla, you in here? Is she in here? I asked Miss Layla and I gave some of the kids some scripts of paper. And if I get to say it, I want them to read it, but I may not get to all of them, and she's not here. I want you to think about the word resentment has the idea of bitter indignation at having been treated unfairly. I felt like I was being mistreated unfairly. I felt like my mother, even though she was deceased, was being treated unfairly because I saw how my dad was treating this woman that he brought into our lives and how he made us do things to be pleasing to them because he wanted to please them. And it was hard. When I think about resentment, when we think about Joseph's family, one of the first things that Joseph had to deal with, and it wasn't his fault, but his father, because of the way his father handled them and the way his father was, when we think about it, we read verse number 3, and it says, "And Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age and made him a coat of many colors." In other words, Jacob set up Joseph and his brothers to be resentful of him because they saw how much their father loved him more than he loved them. And family and parents, let me say something to you tonight. Your children should never feel that you love one more than you do the other. And we all have to work at making sure that they understand that you love them and you love them unconditionally and you love all of them and you can never show them all the same way, but you ought to love all of them the same way.
Amen.
Because you can put resentment in their hearts. And fathers, we don't want to do that.
Amen. That's right.
We don't want to do that. Resentment is can be with children, and we have the kids in here tonight. You can be resentful towards your brothers and sisters, and they don't have to be the steps. They can be your blood children, brothers, sisters, and brothers, and you can show resentment towards them because the resentment is of your parents and how they may treat them, and sometimes they may allow you to do some things that they may not allow the other ones to do, but it's not, I pray, that because they don't love you, but because you are different. Amen. But resentment happens in the home. Between a husband and a wife.
That's right.
It's so easy for us to be resentful towards each other because we feel like sometimes that we're being treated unfairly by that person. And I think about my father's wives, and I want to say something about them tonight. And sometimes when I look back and I get emotional about it, I never thought I would be that way about it tonight. But I remember my dad's, when I say my dad's first wife, she married my dad because she thought he had something. And he didn't have anything. In other words, when you say had something, what was, I think she thought he had money. She thought he had prestige. She thought he had all of these things. And my dad worked two jobs, and he worked hard, but he didn't have none of those things. He really didn't. I had a stepbrother, and I was telling the teenagers the other day, his name was Derek. Derek was my stepbrother. Tyrone is my brother. Brenda is my brother. Derek is my stepbrother. He had a sister named Deborah, and Deborah was my stepbrother, stepsister in that relationship. The stepmother of my first dad's wife was named Isadora. Isadora, I had knew her all my life, but I resented the fact that I felt like she was taking my mother's place, and I wasn't ready for that. And when I say resentment, Derek was younger than me and my brother, and sometimes we would just beat him because he was like Joseph, probably like a little gnat. That he was always around, but you know what? I love him to death today. But that didn't always be that way. And when I say I beat him, we didn't kill him and hurt him. We didn't do like Joseph's brother wanted to do him, amen. But he thought it was fun. And it was probably being more like just being boys, because we really didn't dislike him. But I resented my father. I resented his mother. And resentment can be something that every one of us is going to have to deal with.
Amen.
And it's important that we don't allow those things to hurt us when it comes to our family. There's so many things I could say. The second wife that my dad had, I tell you what, she was quite the challenge. I think she had some Indian blood in her. Her name was Evelyn. And she had a daughter, my stepdaughter, or stepsister. Her name was Deborah. Can you believe that? Two Deborahs. Evelyn was one of those persons that I never would understand how she behaved sometimes the way that she did. One night, I was sitting in my trailer that I lived in when my mother left. I mean, when my dad married and moved. And I was sitting in there out of this trailer that I had moved into, and I was living there because I had left the house. And I remember her. My dad was in her. Well, let me tell the story. I was sitting there, and I hear... And I'm thinking, well, somebody's knocking at the door. I wonder who that is. And so I go to the door, and I open the door. There's nobody there. So I go back, and I kind of sit down, and I hear somebody knocking at the door. Again, and I get up, and I'm thinking, I know I hear somebody. I go to the door, and there was nobody there. So I stood there this time. And about this time, I heard, and I opened the door. It's my dad. She's chasing him with a knife.
Oh, my.
And what had happened, he was running around the trailer. And every time he'd get to the doorway, he could hit the door to try to get me to open the door. He was knocking because he was running from her. She was trying to kill him with a butcher knife. That's the kind of person that she was. I can even say that she tried to attack me with a knife. I don't know why. She had this thing about wanting to just kill people sometimes. But I want us to notice something about this area here that Joseph shows us something that I believe that will be helpful to us when we think about resentment. When it comes to resentment, I think one of the things that all of us have to realize that we have to do, and we may not understand why we need to do it when it comes to resentment, I think one of the things that Joseph showed us after all, and we don't have time to go through everything, so I'm going to just kind of highlight some things in these chapters that I want us to see. When we go to chapter number 39, and you turn over there with me, it's right there. We're going to kind of follow through, and I want to share some things as we go along through there. And the Bible tells us here that and Joseph's brothers hated him so much, they resented the fact of how their dad treated them, that they couldn't, the Bible says that they couldn't even stand to look at Joseph. They couldn't even stand to speak to him, and they were going to sell him in slavery because they couldn't stand to be around him. And the Bible tells us in chapter number 39 and verse number 1, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him of his hands of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which he had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of and house was a pro, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of the master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he had to all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight and served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had, he put into his hands. I think Joseph shows us something, that Joseph had all of the right to be resentful, or his brothers were resentful towards Joseph. But what I want us to see tonight is that I believe that Joseph shows us something that we need to do, is to refuse to lose our relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
Even though we can be mistreated by people sometimes,
that's right,
we can feel resentment. But one thing that Joseph shows us that I believe that all of us need to take heed to, we need to refuse to allow those things to break our relationship with God. When we think about Joseph here, and we don't even have to read it all. Most of us are familiar with it. Joseph walked with the Lord. You can't have a relationship with God if you're not willing to refuse, even when you're being mistreated, because our Savior was mistreated. We have to refuse to be a resentful because somebody treats us with resentment. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that's what Joseph did, because Joseph walked with God. You can't tell me you can be in the presence of God if you're going to be in sin. You can only be in the presence of God and walk with God because there's no sin in your heart. There's no resentment in your heart. And you refuse to allow those things in the circumstances of life to be those things that separate you from the relationship with God that he wants to have with you.
That's right.
Joseph walked with God. And not only did Joseph walk with God, he had a testimony. He was a witness to the household of Pharaoh that he was in. They didn't look at Joseph and the work that they did. They saw the relationship that God had a hand on Joseph, and everything that he touched, everything he did, it prospered.
That's right.
Because he refused to be resentful towards those that were resentful to him, show resentment to him. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have to decide that we're going to do, folks.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know the Lord at that time. It was my BC days, as we call them. But that's what I believe that Joseph shows us that he did. And I want to say this, because we're going to have to move on for the sake of time. But to give it glory and give God the honor, we're going to look at some other things. And when we think about he refused to do that, Joseph said, not only we see his witness, but we see his will. He says, how can I do it? Even when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife, Joseph will. Here he said his will. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Because sometimes we can feel resentful towards other people and do things that we may be privileged to do because we're soaking in our circumstances and we allow our emotions to get a hold of us. But Joseph said, I will not do this and sin against God. I will not do that. Let me say this. Sometimes when we resentment is shown towards us, we can be resentful, but we have to refuse. And I tell you what happens sometimes in the next time. Look at what happened to Joseph. And because of that, Joseph was thrown into prison.
That's right.
And the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 39 and verse 23. And then the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to what?
Prosper.
And here Joseph is, he's in prison now. And in verse number chapter 40 in verse 1, it says, and it came to pass after these things that the baker had offended their Lord and the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against the two of the officers and against the chief butler and against the chief baker. You know, sometimes when we're going through things and we may refuse, but if we're not careful because of how we're being treated, we tend to retaliate. I believe retaliation could have taken place in this scene here that we see that's happening the next thing. But there was no retaliation.
Right.
Notice what Joseph did. And here again, he's showing us some things that I believe that we need to get a hold of and understand how when we allow God to work in our circumstances, in our situations in life, God can work. I didn't know that then. And notice what he did. Because he's still walking, he's still witnessing. Look at verse number 7. And he asked Pharaoh's officer that were with him and the ward of his Lord house, saying, wherewith look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, we have dreamed the dream, and there was no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do it not to interpretation belong to God. Tell me them, and I pray you. Joseph was still serving God. Joseph was still putting God first. And I believe sometimes when I think about my own life, and you think with me today, when things are not going the well that the way that they ought to, especially in your family, we have a tendency to retaliate against each other because of some things that are going on. And retaliation is something that we should be doing. Joseph still cared about them. Look at verse number 9, or verse number 11, or verse number 9. And they dreamed dreams, going back to verse number 5, and they dreamed deep, both of them, and the men's dream in one night, each man according to his interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker and the king of the Egyptians were bound in prison. And Joseph came unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. Joseph cared about people in spite of what he was going through. It's easy for us to get caught up and we want to retaliate when we think like we're being mistreated.
Right.
I want you to think about that. That's what I believe that happens in verse number 44. These are some extraordinary obstacles that we need to overcome. Amen. And it's an ordinary family, and it's typical of the families today. I want us to think about here in chapter number 41, and it came to pass in the end of the 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed the dream. And behold, he stood by the river. So here it is again that Joseph could have been bitter. Joseph could have been angry. Joseph could have been upset. There's many things that Joseph could have did, but God gave him a revelation and revealed to him some things that he was allowed to show Pharaoh that nobody else got to do.
That's right.
Because of he was walking with God.
That's right.
He didn't get caught up in to life's issues sometimes. As we all do. You think about it. In verse number 25, and Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God have showed Potiphar what he is about to do. So the revelation of God is coming to Pharaoh in a dream, and Joseph is going to interpret that. And not only did God show him what was going to happen, he showed him what to do when it happened. Because Joseph walked with God. He wasn't resentful. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. Most of us, if we were still in prison and in the position that Joseph was in, we wouldn't have been walking with God.
Yep. Yep. Amen.
It's true.
We really wouldn't. And I wasn't walking with God when I was dealing with some of the issues in my family. I remember one time that this same, not Isidore, I got to get him right here, Evelyn. It snowed one night, and we lived in a trailer, and a kerosene give out. The car was wrapped in snow. The The house was cold, and I wanted to retaliate, but I couldn't. I cleaned off the car. I called the oil company and had them to come and bring some oil. She come out and looked at the car. She was there when the oil man came. I ain't need you to do that for me. That's why it's so important for us to walk with God.
That's right.
Because our family would disappoint us. Yeah. God may reveal to you some things that he's going to do and why he's going to do it and what you need to do with what he's going to have you to do. When Joseph got the revelation from God as to what he should do, he told Pharaoh what he should do and how he should do it.
That's right.
And what he was supposed to do. And God will show us what we're supposed to do if we're listening and we're in tune. Yeah. How we're supposed to do it. If we don't be resentful, we refuse to, we don't retaliate. And God will continue to reveal to you and I what we should do in life sometimes when we're faced with some hard times when people still mistreat us.
That's right. Yeah.
And especially even in our family. Mm. I'm going to tell you another story. I remember one time, and I don't know why she got mad with me about what this is, Evelyn. I don't even know why she got mad with me about whatever it was. And she came after me with a knife. And I was standing in what was, Teresa, know what I'm talking about, when I was standing in what was the add-on part to my dad's trailer, I was standing kind of in the bedroom, and Deborah was standing there, and I don't know, we were talking about something, and I don't know, here comes this woman looking crazy, got a knife, and she tried to reach across Deborah and my dad or where we were standing and try to strike me with a butcher knife. I kind of backed up, and I shared this with Pastor, I kind of backed up, and I knew as I backed up, I had these forks that I took out of my motorcycle on the back. There was a little back porch out there. I opened that door, and I said, look, if you come any closer, I'm going to hurt you. And I reached down and picked up one of them pipes, and it was probably about that long, and it's solid metal. And she came anyway. And I drew back, and my uncle came in just as I drew back and caught my arm that it didn't come forward. And I would have hurt her. And I'm so glad I didn't when I look back. And there's so many things that can happen in our lives that can get us off track. But God is a God of revealer. God reveals things to us and show us some things that he would have us to do and not do.
That's right.
And I didn't even know the Lord. And you said, why are you showing us? Because, you know, I think we need to understand how important family is. And I'm not saying that I lived a perfect life, because I didn't. I didn't always do everything right, but we got to refuse. We can't retaliate. And sometimes God is going to reveal some things, exactly how we should handle things when it comes to doing certain things. I think not only do we see that this here was a retaliation that happened there. And I went on and I just started looking at it here, and God rewarded Joseph for just being faithful. I believe God will reward us now that we can profess to be Christians. Amen. God will reward us for just being faithful and doing the right things. Amen. And our families certainly need to see that in our lives, those of us that call up, that profess and be Christians now. But as I say, I didn't know the Lord. Joseph was rewarded, and Pharaoh looked around, and he had to find somebody that he could put in place to do and carry out that which needed to be done. Joseph is still dealing with all of these things that are going on. But, you know, Joseph wasn't just the only one in this picture. Joseph has some brothers that were in this picture as well. And sometimes God is working all things together for our good. And he's working in those brothers' lives as well. Because when we look at chapter number 42, I'm going to have to hurry this up. But look at chapter number 42. We see remorse from those same brothers that threw him in prison. Now they are facing Joseph, and they didn't know who he was, but he knew who they were. And sometimes they show remorse, and there has to be some remorse in our lives, in our relationship, in our family sometimes. We need to be sorry for what we've done. Who has that word? I asked and read remorse. I don't have time. Who has that word for me? Read that for me, Josiah. Deep regret, and they regret it. And it's amazing how when you live in sin and not doing right by God, how he reveals to you that you're still in sin and you need to get it right with him. And sometimes in our families, we have to admit it and confess our sin, because he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There are some things that need to be done in those young men's lives because of what they did. Think of how long they had to live with that lie. And when I say they were remorseful, look at what it says in verse number 7 of chapter 42. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, whence cometh ye? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And notice what it says in verse number 21. And they said one to another. Now, I ain't read all this, but they said one to another, we have verily, verily what? Concerning what? Our brother. They were feeling guilty. And they didn't even know who he was. It's amazing how that come out of all the things that they were thinking. They down there to buy food, but they were feeling guilty about what they had done to their brother. But there's some remorse there, because Reuben answered them and saying, spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child, and ye would not hear? Therefore, behold, also the blood is... behold, also his blood is required. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. And he turned himself about from them and wept, and turned to them again. Remorseful. That's one of the things that certainly need to be done in our family sometime. You may not be able to change everything, but you ought to be sorry about some of the things that you did. And these boys, God was not only working in Joseph's life, God was working in their lives. And you can't live in sin and be right with God and not feel convicted about it. And that's what they were feeling. I just love this. Oh, I tried to do some justice to it. We'll look at chapter number 45, and we're going to skip on over to there. Restoration. We need restoration. What a beautiful scene here. And the Bible says, and then Joseph could not refrain himself. He had finally told his brethren who he was, and he could not refrain himself. And it tells us he did not refrain himself before all of them stood by him, and he cried and caused every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. Verse 5, now therefore be not grieved with thy anger with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Verse 7, and God sent me before you to preserve a prosperity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. You know, I think about that. There's a lot I wish I could restore in my family, but I can't restore. But I believe through all that I've gone through, God has allowed me to save my soul, and God has allowed me to be a beacon of light in a lost family. And God has allowed me to lead a lot of my family to the Lord.
Amen.
God wants to do that in our families. God wants to do that in your life. Restoration. Make things right with your family that you can be a witness to them. And it's not always an easy thing to do. But when God is in it, it's possible it can happen.
That's right.
It can happen. Joseph couldn't wait to restore his family and bring them all back together. Go get my father. Go bring my brother Benjamin. Go and come and bring my father back to me. Joseph wanted to restore. Who has the word restoration? Either one of you got restoration? Who got it? Who got restoration? Nobody has restoration? Well, I guess I had to do it myself. Amen. Let me find it here on my paper, if I can find it. Restoration, the act of returning something to a former owner, place, or condition, an act of restoring or the condition of being restored. That's what they did. Restoration. Joseph's family was restored. Was it perfect? No, it wasn't. But God was working all things together for even their good, and they didn't even know it. Let's go. Let's move on. And we're going to go all the way over to Genesis chapter number 50. There's so much that I wanted to say, and I don't know any way I could have wrapped it up and done it much justice in 30 minutes. But you know what? God is good. Amen. And notice here that when we say that they needed some work in their lives and they were facing Joseph, and it's amazing now we see repentance from them. And repentance is always important in every relationship. We have to be repentful of our sins when it comes to Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And even in our relationships, we have to be willing to forgive, because repentance, who has that one for me? Nobody? All right, I'll read it. The act of repenting, sincere regret or remorse. You know, I looked it up online and looked up the word repentance as a in the dictionary, and it showed a picture of a curve in a road, in a highway. And it was a swift curve. You'd have to come to a complete stop to make this curve. And when it comes to repentance, you have to almost come to a complete stop in order to make that direct turn to return from and to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And repentance was what they did. Look at verse number 17. Joseph's father is dead now, and his brothers were probably telling a lie, but they were so afraid of what Joseph would do to them because of what they had done to him. And verse 17 said, And so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespasses of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespasses of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we are their servants. And this is about the fifth time that they had fallen down before Joseph, and he had told them about it. You know, one thing about God's word is never, God's word always come true. Right. So they are bowing down. But notice what Joseph said. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. He's like God in this picture, matter of fact. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people. Repentance took place here from these guys because they recognized that their sin, and they asked for forgiveness the best I believe that they knew how. And when it comes to our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we got to come to God in repentance heart and ask for forgiveness. Amen. And when we have a family, a person that would come to us and ask for forgiveness, folks, we ought to be willing to forgive. We ought to be willing to forgive. I wish that this day, and not that we have a bad relationship with any of my brothers or sisters, even my stepbrothers and sisters, but one of my dad's third wife, I wish that I still could have contact with her. And I did all that I could, and Teresa would tell you the same thing, we did all that we could to try to show her that we loved her. When we put my dad in the grave, our relationship was broken. I have not seen her, have not heard from her. I don't know where she's at. I don't know what she's doing. And it wasn't because I didn't try to reach out to her. For what? Fourth wife? Wait a minute, did I miss one? Wait a minute, there's Linda. I mean, Isadora. Well, no, my mother is not, I didn't consider my mom his wife. I considered her my stepmother. Okay, well, anyway, when we put my dad in the grave, I haven't seen her since that day. She didn't come to the house after all of that was done. I don't know where she's at. I don't know what she's doing. I wish that we could still have a relationship. I can't help what the struggles that her and my dad have. But I just wish I could reach out and love her. Because she did do some good things for Teresa and I and our girls, and they love her, and we miss her and wish we could have that relationship. And I hope it's never that we would not forgive people for what they do to us and how they treat us sometimes. And if they genuinely ask for forgiveness, we got to be willing to forgive.
Amen.
There's a great deliverance that needs to be made in families today, and it needs to be made in our nation. The devil is doing everything he can to destroy families.
That's right.
And those of us that are professing to be Christians, we have to be on guard and be the ask God to use us to be the best that we can be for his honor and for his glory, because our families need to be delivered out of this dysfunctionalism that goes on in families today.
Amen.
And one of the things that can harbor a family is resentment. Joseph didn't allow that to be that way in his life. And it's only by the grace of God that I can stand before you today and I can honestly say, I love my dad. I love my brothers and sisters. I love my stepmothers. I love my mother. And I love all of them. And it's only because of the grace of God.
Amen.
I can only do what I can do. But there's so many things I would want to say. And I'm going to leave it at that, because it has been time. And I want to respect what Pastor asked me to do. But I just want it to be, I needed to hear, and some of the things I needed to rehearse in my own mind. Joseph's environment had changed, but the results of Joseph's faithfulness, integrity remained throughout his whole entire life. Be faithful to God, especially in your family and to your family, and know that you have a responsibility to your family, but you have a responsibility to God. Responsible to God. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. Father, thank you again for your blessings. God, thank you for the privilege that we have to be here tonight. And thank you for God for just showing me so many things. And this family's life is truly a reflection of our society today. There's so many relationships that are brought together in so many facets of life, but they don't have the centerpiece, and that is to make Christ the center of their homes. And God, if we're going to ever have a chance, those of us that even professing to be Christians, we're going to have a relationship with you that's far beyond any relationship we could ever have, and allow you to make the difference in not only in our hearts and in our lives, but in our families as well. Lord, that we might walk with you and we might be a witness for you, and we will to not do anything to sin against our God. And that was Joseph's cry. And you had him where you had him to be a great deliverance to his people and to his family. Bless now, I pray tonight, in each one of our hearts, that we can leave here tonight and say that it truly has been good to be in the house of the Lord. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to let Pastor come and close as he sees fit.